This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When was the last time you thought about Ace of Base? You know, the 80s and 90s are back. That's all I'm saying. My nieces tell me all the time they want to borrow my jean jacket. I feel like it's a classic now and no one else should be touching it. It's actually stonewashed jean jacket. Chris, don't shake your head at me like you don't think the 80s and 90s are cool. Stop it. You do. I know you do. You stole your dad's hat last night.
That's right, I did.
That was a throwback. If you haven't seen Chris's hat, it makes a cameo very early on in our Facebook Live video. It's not a broadcast anymore. It's not live anymore. But it is preserved on our Facebook page. It's pinned to the top. If you haven't seen it, it's a hoot. You get to see Dave and Chris in their element behind the scenes. And also, I told a couple of stories that I have not told on the show. I saved them simply for Facebook. We did a bunch of fun questions. There were all kinds of answers. We had watchers, viewers, listeners from all over the country. So it's kind of fun, even though being on video live makes me nervous. But we did some Christmas cheer. I showed off the cookies and we had fun. I laughed. It took me a while to figure out how to hold the camera. So there was a little bit of seasickness going on as well. But thanks so much for getting us to the point at which our social media is a real tool and a real way that we can interact with you. So 30,000 likes on our Facebook page was that plateau. And I just promised you earlier, if you didn't hear it, every 5,000 likes we get on our Facebook page, we'll do another Facebook Live video. We'll have to get creative and come up with some other ways to entertain you. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, how about this? When we get to, what do you think, Chris? What's the plateau for baby pictures?
I think we might do a double whammy for if we do another 35,000, we do another video, and then at 40, we could do a video and baby pictures.
But what about, we can't forsake Twitter, though. What should we do for the people who only tweet, who are only twits?
That's a good question. We might have to, you know what I think we should do again? I think it's been a while since we've had a listener submitted song.
Meaning like
a rap. That's right.
Okay. So what though? We need a plateau though, or we need a something. We need a level.
The next plateau on Twitter would be 15,000.
Okay, so you're
the
show Twitter, right? Okay,
yes.
So the show Twitter is After Hours CBS. So how about this? Baby pictures when we get to 15. Oh no! When we get, I was a chubby baby. I had really, really crazy blonde hair too, as a toad head. my mom is gonna love that. 15,000 followers on our show Twitter account, After Hours CBS, and then 35,000 likes on our Facebook page, and then we'll do another video and we'll put some baby pictures out there. Maybe just around my birthday. That'd be kind of fun for baby pictures. And we definitely need to do a battle of the bands soon because I know a lot of you are very musical. Gosh, think of all the things we have to look forward to in 2020. Can you believe it's nearly the turn of the calendar to a new year, but also a new decade? It goes so fast, but that's amazing. I like starting fresh. I like getting an opportunity to take a deep breath, hit the reset button. I know it's just the next day, but isn't there something about it because of the way we celebrate New Year's? Because so many of us, if we've had a tough year, a challenging year, we like to put it behind us and start over in January. And I know I'm not alone when I say this, but it in the last month, I'm sure, again, some of you can relate to this. I've had three different friends tell me they're battling cancer. One who is older and is like a mom to me. One who is just a few years older than me and someone that I worked with when I was one of my previous stops in my radio career. And actually a young woman who's younger than me, who's a friend of mine that I, you know, have known for about 10 years or so. It's no respecter of persons, cancer. And so there are a lot of people who are going through challenges this holiday season as well. But I love the fact that many of us get together with family and with friends, with loved ones, and we can support and encourage one another. And that, to me, the joy, the peace, the togetherness, the grace that we can offer one another, that to me is really what the season is all about. But there's also a heaviness to it too, because as much as it's Christmas and it's exciting, you know, people are struggling with different things. And so to find out, I just found out a few hours ago about my young friend Mindy, who has breast cancer. And so I think there is some relief in being able to turn the page when we have had a tough year. I don't know why it was, but 2012 was one of the worst years of my life. I think it had a lot to do with work stuff, but just couldn't wait to get to the new year in January of 2013. And again, it's just another day. All we do is get up on Wednesday morning and, oh, okay, so it's January 1st. But it means so much to us in our culture. It seems to mark a fresh start and a chance to hit the reset button. So we're going to do that too. We will actually be here on New Year's Eve. Chris and I are working, so we'll help you usher in the new year. Brian, are you with us too? Brian is with us too. That'll be so much fun. Okay. So the group we've got tonight, Dave, unfortunately, is sick. He's been struggling with some illness over the last couple of weeks, but and then he's off around the holidays. So Chris and Brian and I will also be here for New Year's Eve and to usher in the new year for a good portion of the country. And we'll do the fresh start and the reset button. Not to mention, by then, we'll know who has made it into the NFL postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios, because why would we ever record this? They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. We're taking the names for the elf. Lots of you, very creative, and also, I'll just be honest, a little bit weird, on our Facebook page. And we're also getting your suggestions for best Christmas song. You can't have mine. Mine is I Want a Hippopotamus. Kashanti is listening in Houston. Welcome to After Hours. Are you there?
Yes.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Okay, well, I listen to you often, very often.
Thank you.
Might I say, big ups to the females in the sports industry.
Yes, agreed.
Nobody really knows this song, and I'm from San Diego, California, and my fifth grade teacher, his wife actually wrote and recorded that song. That's his wife's song.
The HIPAA song?
So, yes. Yes, so I was like, oh my God, nobody knows this song, because I would sing this song sometimes. And when I moved down here, and they were like, well, what the hell are you singing, you know? And I'm like, this is my, you know, like, you don't know this song?
Oh, I love it.
And so I'm so surprised that you love this song, because that was one of my favorite teachers ever.
Yeah, you know what's really cute? The video is actually really cute too. There's a black and white video, and I don't know when it was made. It obviously wasn't made in 1953, but with Gayla Peavy singing the song, so it's cute. And I know it's been remade, but this girl's voice is so perfect for it that I can't even stomach the other versions. Like Kacey Musgraves, who's a country singer, she did a remake of it, but it's not as good as the original.
No, that one that you just played sounded like the original recording.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It's adorable.
But I've never seen a video. I didn't know there was a video.
Yeah, obviously not done back then, but you'll have to check it out. Just check out the Christmas Hippo song, and you'll find different people put together videos. So, yeah, it's adorable. It's one of my favorites, but I would agree with you that not a lot of people know it. And so whenever I play it on the show, people get very excited. Like, what is that?
Yes. Yes. Because I was singing, you know, and I remember I heard it. I was a waitress at a restaurant and I heard it. And it came on, and it was two guys. And I was like, hey, because they were like, oh, I like this song. I was like, you know this song, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, you know, fun fact, this is actually, you know, my fifth grade teacher. You know the song, you know?
I do
my
know.
My fifth grade teacher's wife's song.
That's and, awesome.
You know, one of my favorite, his name is Clifford Henderson. He was one of my favorite teachers. I think he was in the 60s. Mm-hmm. I know he was in the 60s. He had mercury in a box, in a wooden box. He had every single, like, since he'd been teaching at Euclid Elementary, I went to Euclid Elementary, and he had all of his students' yearbook pictures, you know, all in a book throughout all the years. So he was, and I went to his, oh my God, he had a beautiful house. It was, he had a beautiful house. He did. It was two kitchens because I was downstairs. Like, he was like, come here. But he was inside the house, but the slide door was shut. I ran into it. That's how clean that shit was. I swear to God.
Well, that sounds cool. I'm glad this teacher had such an impact on your life. That's really cool. I'm glad that you actually know the person whose wife wrote the song, and that's a neat connection, and that you also like the song. So we'll probably play it again. Kashanti, Merry Christmas to you. We're at a break here, so I have to let you go, but thank you so much for calling. It was good to talk to you.
Facepalm Friday.
I forgot about Facepalm Friday.
I want a hippo for Christmas.
All of that about a hippo. Just if you don't know the whole song, it's very catchy, and we'll drop in more of it. But Gayla Peavy is the artist. I don't know anything else by Gayla Peavy. I don't know anything. I just know her voice is perfect for this iconic Christmas song. So what should we name our elf? What is your favorite Christmas song? There are many suggestions after hosts here at the network. That's weird. I feel like the elf should stand on his own two feet. I don't think he needs to be named after someone here at the network. Pat says on Twitter, Sherman. Sherman the elf. Daryl says, Peaches. Nope. That's a negative Ghost Rider. Let's see. There are some good ones on Facebook, though. Duhay says, elf should be named Alfred. That was cute. I like Alfred. Marion on Facebook says Tay or Tahi. Huh. I'd have a hard time remembering those. So I feel like we need to make it something that's catchy and memorable. Kevin on Facebook, Rufus. David says Frodo. Nope, he's too tall for a Frodo and not nearly as thick. Frank says Richie. Mike says Elfus Atenacumpo. It's like Giannis's brother. Joel on Facebook says Hermie. Let's see. Mary says Ernie. Hermie and Ernie. There are two in here. I don't know. Have we said one yet that we feel is perfect for the elf? Are you guys feeling it? No?
They could do better.
I feel like it's okay. One of those we'll know when we get it.
That's true. Exactly. We'll know when we have stumbled upon the perfect name for the elf. I just know he's happy now because I took off his price tag, which means the company cannot return him. I threw it away, too. I did not leave the price tag in the studio. In fact, I'm going to chase anyone with these scissors if they come after our friend the elf. That could get me fired. Okay, let's see. Coming up next, I have an actual sports story that I think is curious and that I want to share my opinion on. I know that my opinion will be in the minority, but I don't know. I still think it's a curious question for a college basketball player. After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Gets a pick from Wiseman, top of the key. They go give and go. Finally, Wiseman gets a bucket with an emphatic dunk.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
That highlight was brief, like James Wiseman's tenure at Memphis. This is it's a curious story, and I know that Wiseman, who is likely to be a lottery pick in the upcoming NBA draft. In fact, could end up being in the top three. I know that this is not how he envisioned his freshman season at Memphis going, but I still wonder if this is the best choice. So I want to offer my opinion. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dave Wollaston is the voice of the Tigers, the Memphis Tigers radio network. So you may be familiar with the story, but if you're not, I'll just briefly give you the deets. Wiseman, who's a freshman at Memphis, has missed the past 7 games because of suspension and still had 5 more games to serve under his suspension. This goes back to an NCAA investigation that uncovered that his mother had taken money going back to 2017 from Penny Hardaway before he accepted the head coaching job at Memphis. Okay, so in other words, there were illegal benefits under NCAA rules given to James Wiseman's mom. You may hate the NCAA system. You may believe that athletes need to be paid, that they should be able to capitalize on their skills, their talents, their abilities while they're in college. Maybe you believe that freshmen should be of age where they can skip college and go directly to the NBA. All of those things may be opinions of yours, but here's the thing. While we're under this system, students have to operate by it. Okay, so I'm not debating with you whether or not you believe that it's unfair that these students can't get paid. And obviously the laws are changing in many areas and the NCAA structure may soon crumble or have to change dramatically. So that's a separate debate. What I think is curious is that James, who was going to return or would be eligible to return in January, early January, has now decided he's not going back to Memphis at all. Instead, he's quitting school, quitting the program, hiring an agent, and preparing for the draft. Do you know when the draft is? The draft is in June or July. It's the summertime. And he says that while this is not what he envisioned, not what he expected when he enrolled at Memphis, that he believes this is the best way to prepare for the NBA. And that's the part that I disagree with. I'm not saying every college basketball player or every young basketball player who has dreams of making it to the NBA follow the same format. I get it. Not everybody should go to college. Not everybody's cut out to be a student athlete. And it's likely that the NBA will change its rules and will go back to a time when players coming out of high school are allowed to make that jump. You remember, LeBron James didn't play college basketball. And I could go on and on. Kobe Bryant didn't play college basketball. There are some incredible young athletes who could, in fact, make the jump from high school directly to the pros. There are reasons why the rules were changed. It's about maturity. It's about some preparation. And it's both the NBA level as well as the individual young men. Right? So the NBA doesn't want to have to employ babysitters to keep these kids in line or to protect them from really being naive and kind of been thrown to the wolves when they've had no life training at all. So the NBA doesn't want a bunch of babies, and I don't mean babies as a negative. I just mean really young kids making the jump. But obviously, we've seen teenagers in the NBA who get there either from Europe or who entered college really young. There are exceptions. There are young men who are both physically and mentally prepared and have a good support system around them who can make that jump. But my contention with James is, if you want to prepare for the NBA, hiring an agent and working out on your own is, I think, not the best way to do it, basketball-wise. Now, are you protecting your investment? You think if I get hurt, all of this goes up in smoke? Well, sure, that's always a possibility. It's a risk that every athlete takes. It doesn't have to be specific to basketball. Every time an athlete steps on the court, the field, or the ice, there's a risk. Heck, every time you walk down a flight of stairs, there's a risk that you're going to get hurt. It's just a part of life. People get hurt. I have told this story before, but I was once attending a walkthrough for a big basketball game when I was living in Oklahoma at the University of Oklahoma. I watched a player plant her foot. She didn't do anything weird. She didn't step funny. She planted her foot and snapped her ACL. That's how easily it can happen. And so there's always a risk of injury. And I understand that maybe he's worried about losing a spot in the lottery if he gets hurt. Zion Williamson got hurt in playing a basketball game last year, UNC Duke. So there's always that chance. But if you want to prepare for the NBA, in my opinion, the best way to prepare is to play college basketball at the highest level. You're not going to find a pickup game at the Y that's going to give you the same competition that you'll have in Power 5 conference basketball. And I also don't want him to miss out on the experience. I played college basketball, not at the same level that he did, but it's among my fondest memories as a young person. And I feel like being around a team, navigating team politics, but just communicating with a team, playing in a team structure, listening to a coach, practicing, not to mention playing games, and likely playing games in the NCAA tournament. That's the best way to prepare for basketball at the NBA level. And that's kind of what the league, the association, has been about. We don't want kids to jump from AAU or high school ball into the NBA because they're not ready. He can go work out twice a day with a trainer and bulk up and get stronger and go through drills. But that's not the same as being on a basketball court. The timing of a fast break, jumping and leaping for a rebound, passing with your teammates, catching the ball off a screen and shooting. It's not the same thing. The best way to prepare for pro basketball is to play basketball at the highest level. You've got months after March Madness is over to get ready for the NBA draft. So I get it. He's got people in his ear. He wants to hire an agent. He feels like that's the best way to prepare. And I'm not in his shoes. And I've never had the type of advisors he's had. But I feel like the best way, sometimes there is overthinking this process. The best way to prepare to play basketball in the NBA is to play at the next highest level, which is college. Upper level, elite college basketball. To be challenged, to be pushed. Memphis has got some good competition, and March Madness would be even better. You know how you get better? You play against people who are better than you. And so I want him to have that experience too. And I know it's too late now. He's already made his choice. But gosh, you don't need 6 months, 7 months to get ready for the NBA draft. Play basketball. Have some fun. Maybe it's his way of sticking it up the NCAA's butt. There's another piece of that, too. He and his family may be so ticked off about it that they're done with the whole thing. But I wish for him that he could be like Zion and enjoy some of the fruits of all his labor to this point. Because there's nothing better than March Madness. And there's nothing better than playing basketball. Isn't that why you do it? Not to go work out in a gym somewhere. I feel like he's missing out. I don't really like this decision for him, but also because I feel like it's better preparation. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. You've got some odd names for the elf. Some of you may be eating too many Christmas cookies or dipping into the eggnog. You can also find us on our Facebook page. Thanks so much for tuning in. Donna, by the way, is doing the same thing that Brian was doing behind the scenes, Googling about Gail Peavy. Gala. I think it's Gala PV. Okay, so Donna maybe got caught by autocorrect. She's still alive at age of 76, yes. And she also used a hippo emoji. I don't know if my phone has a hippo emoji. That's kind of fun.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We have to wait until Monday to see the Packers in their next big game against the Minnesota Vikings, top two teams in the NFC North, two teams who both have double-digit wins. Packers have already clinched a playoff spot. The Vikings are on the cusp and, of course, are still in the running for an AFC North crown. A lot of you are saying Blue Christmas by Elvis is one of your favorite Christmas songs. So we're combining the two, football and the holidays, because that's where we are. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Wayne Larrivee is the play-by-play voice of the Packers. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's brought to you toll-free by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, or in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, so we've got a bunch of games with playoff implications coming up in week 16, and I'm hoping for snow. I just love the idea of football in the elements. And what did Steve Berline tell us? Steve told us when he joined our last show that he'd rather play in snow, that it's actually kind of fun to play in a blizzard. It's not as much fun to play in pouring down rain. Now, this game on Monday Night Football is indoors. It's at U.S. Bank Stadium, and so we're not going to get football in the elements. We'll have to save that and hope we can see it somewhere else. Maybe Chicago, because the Chiefs are at the Bears. We could, if we're lucky, get some in Philadelphia, where the Cowboys and the Eagles are scheduled to do battle, tied at 7-7 atop the NFC East. We could get some in Denver, where the Broncos are hosting the Lions, who will be keeping their head coach. So Matt Patricia going nowhere, according to the ownership. I do not believe that there is snow scheduled. In fact, I think now that we've had, oh my gosh, nearly 2 weeks of precipitation, everything from pouring down rain to sleet and ice and then snow the past couple of days in northern New Jersey, which is not that far from MetLife Stadium. That's where I live in northern New Jersey. I'm pretty confident it's supposed to be clear on Sunday. So Steelers and Jets will not have any elements. Maybe there will be some snow in Cleveland when the Ravens take on the Browns. So there are a lot of different possibilities. We'll see. I do know that there's so much on the line that this is the type of weekend you don't want to miss. And it starts with three games on Saturday and then moves forward into Sunday and Monday. What's the game you're most looking forward to? After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. I know we've heard Aaron Rodgers say that the Packers are not yet a complete team. But what they want to do is peak at the right time. They want to peak now. This is where you want to start playing your best football. And here is, I think, a pre-postseason test that will be a great gauge, because the Vikings defense is, well, it's fierce, it's vicious, and having to go on the road in hostile territory against a team that knows you well, where there's no love lost, a team that also has 10 wins. The Packers have 11, but the Vikings have 10. And a team that has so much to play for. This is going to be a great gauge. Now, these two teams haven't met since they played at Lambeau week two. And it was a relatively close game, 21-16. And I know that the Chargers are not the same offense they were a year ago, and certainly the Packers are better in many ways. But what the Vikings defense did to the Chargers last week was highway robbery. I mean, it was insane. Danielle Hunter, I think, was one of my candidates for Monday MVP, one of my dark horses. The defense essentially embarrassed the Chargers, made them look inept. Seven turnovers committed by Los Angeles. And this was in California, though a lot of times those don't get great home field advantages. Can the Vikings have that same defensive performance at home, protecting their field against the incoming Packers? And again, I like the idea, as Aaron Rodgers does too, I think, that this is a good tune-up for January.
I love the leadership opportunities, and if guys want to know what the urgency looks like in Week 16, they probably saw some of the practice today. You can't help it. Just naturally, things amp up a little bit, and we're in the playoffs, so that's the first exciting part. But that's not the goal starting the season. The goal is to win the North, and we got an opportunity this week to do that. So there should be no questions about the focus of anybody on this squad and the readiness to play.
Big game this week. Great opportunity. Great to be back at home. Got a good football team coming here to play us, and we're going to have a great week of practice to be ready to go. I'm excited for the challenge, and hopefully we can win and make it a great Christmas.
A great Christmas. Poor Kirk Cousins. They were done listening to him. They just walked off. But Kirk Cousins, here's the big deal about the Vikings offense. Likely to be without Dalvin Cook. And to me, that is a massive loss. So he's dealing with a shoulder injury. And while it's still up in the air, I think a little bit, it doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of hope for Dalvin to be playing. But the idea that they're going to have to play without essentially their bell cow, the guy that has been such a driving force for them and that really has opened things up for the passing game, to me, that's disappointing. It's obviously disappointing for the Vikings, but it's also, I think, to have these two teams on the same field, I would love to see them both at full strength. And it's not the same. It's not the same offense without Cook. They still have some incredible wide receivers, tight ends. Kirk Cousins is playing really well. I guess there's a chance that Cook could play through the pain, but could it do more damage? The Vikings are still in line for a playoff spot. They still have a healthy lead for that last wild card. A lot of it might be about seeding, but do they want to sacrifice potentially getting Cook hurt even more and not have him be ready for wild card weekend? It's kind of a tough question, right? Because they could still win the NFC North. There's still a possibility there. But you also would love to have him be as close to full strength as possible when you get to games in January where you're talking one and done. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Certainly, the injury to the shoulder of Dak Prescott has been a question. As we go into Week 16, the Cowboys and the Eagles, they're tied at 7-7. And according to General Manager Jerry Jones, Dak is going to be on the field.
We've got to have him in top form, and he will be in top form. So I think the situation has been described accurately. And these are things that guys play with and they practice with. So I think we're in good shape.
That's Jerry Jones in one of his weekly appearances on 105.3 The Fan, our Dallas affiliate. And we've heard all about his toughness. But what does Dak have to say about Sunday against the Eagles?
I mean, I'm getting better. Simple as that. Mobility, functioning, it's all improving. That's the key. It's the goal. I'll be good to go Sunday.
Okay. Simple, easy. Cowboys, Eagles. This is not exactly how they envisioned the season playing out, but here it is and everything they want. A division title and the chance to host a playoff game. It's all still available. 855-212-4227. Harold is in Texas.
I didn't stop this morning. Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Harold was busy having a conversation. Is Harold still talking to someone else?
Amy?
Yeah, it's Amy.
I am so sorry, Amy. I apologize. I just got to work, and I was talking to my dispatcher.
No, it's fine.
I wanted to say about the Cowboys, I'm really worried right now because I don't know which team is going to show up.
Yeah.
The explosive team that showed up against the Rams,
right,
or the one that showed up against the Jets. I don't know which team is going to show up week to week. And besides that, I really wanted to say a Merry Christmas to you and your crew. You guys are doing a wonderful job. This is the only sports show that I listen to.
Thanks, Harold.
You guys have a very Merry Christmas, and a very happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, too. I hope you have a good night at work. Or good, I guess I should say a good day at work.
But that's all I want to say about the Cowboys. Go right ahead and answer what you will. Thank you.
Thanks, Harold. Good to hear from you. I'm glad he didn't drop a swear word there before we... Actually, Brian was taking precautions. He was making sure the audio wasn't up on the air while Harold was finishing his conversation. That happens a lot. Not only do we catch people snoring, but we also catch people talking to other people. Or sometimes they'll put us on mute thinking that they'll know when we pick them up and they miss it. And so we get all kinds of fun stuff when we answer the phones. As for the Dallas Cowboys, sure, I would agree with that. There's been a lot of inconsistency, and the roller coaster ride continued in Week 15, an explosive performance, mostly due to the prowess of the run game. Both Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, over 100 yards rushing. They combined for 3 touchdowns on the ground. But before that, they'd struggled. Think about the 3 games against the difficult defenses they played: New England, Buffalo, Chicago. The Rams defense has not been the same as it was a year ago when they won the NFC. So here they go against the Eagles, and we know you throw everything out when it comes to division rivalries and think about everything that's on the line. I'm not worried about Dak, the fact that he hasn't been practicing this week. It's more for him. It's about pain management. He says he's good to go. I like the fact that Sean Lee had a huge game last week, even though he didn't practice much. He brings such fire and intensity, so he's key to that Dallas defense setting the tone right away. This is a game on Sunday afternoon that will be the national broadcast because there's so much riding on it at Philadelphia, Lincoln Financial Field. I'm excited for that one, too. So what's the game you're most looking forward to? The poll is up on Twitter and Facebook. We're halfway through. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.